to suggest that Brits hold a more negative view on the consequences of Brexit, with 54% of respondents saying leaving the EU was a bad decision, up from 46% last year. That view stems from the widely held belief that the UK's economy and global clout have been damaged by landmark decision to exit the EU. A 56% majority of respondents say leaving the bloc has made the economy worse, up from 44% last year. Half also think the UK's influence on the international stage has diminished, compared to just 39% last year. In addition, respondents take a dim view of the changes that Brexit has brought on the country's ability to control its own borders, with 50% saying it has worsened. The poll comes after a December study by the Centre for European Reform, CER, which estimated the UK's losses due to Brexit at £33 billion. Brexit had added 6% to UK food prices and has cost British workers about 2.6% of their wages in real terms. Swati Dhingra, an external member of the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee, explained in November. The departure from the EU, according to Dhingra, has also caused a reduction in business investment and overall trade. In November 2022, also Sky News reported that a survey from YouGov reveals that only 32% of Britons believe it was right to leave and 56% think it was wrong. The gap is the largest yet and marks a big swing in opinion, particularly since June 2021. In contrast, polling before the 2017 general election had suggested that more people believed Brexit was the right decision than not. One in five people who voted for Brexit now believe it was the wrong decision. Over the last 18 months, the percentage of Brexiteers who believe voting to leave the EU in 2016 was the right decision has dropped from 88% to a record low of 70%. Meanwhile, the number of Brexiteers who believe Brexit was the wrong thing to do has soared from 4% to 19%. Remain voters are more likely to have stood by their decision, with 9 in 10 still believing Brexit was wrong. In December 2022, The Times wrote, only one in three voters who backed leaving the European Union 6 years ago believe Brexit has been a success, polling for The Times suggests. The YouGov survey on the second anniversary of the Brexit trade deal found that 41% of Leave voters said Brexit had been worse for Britain than they imagined in 2016. Nearly a quarter, about 23%, said it had had a negative effect on Britain's place in the world, 34% said it was bad for the economy, and 41% said it had had a negative impact on immigration. The poll also found more Leave voters than not now supported a closer relationship with Europe, including the possibility of rejoining the single market.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light. and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and we are trying to criticize the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross, with Sister Asma and a brother, Sayyid Abdullah. Brother, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Sister Asma, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam. Once more, very happy and glad to be here.
You're welcome. You know, before me asking you a question regarding the movie Father Stu and its critique, let's take a listen to a short part of the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. And then we'll be back with this question. Don't go away.
You want to test me, see how serious I am? Why? I want no why. I want no why. I want no doubt. Why? Why have you like here now? And I'm here and I'm gonna do right now.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are trying to criticize the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. Sister Asma, Stu is unhappy about, you know, his medical condition, myositis. You know, this is what they call in the movie. This is a medical condition, you
yes,
know.
Yes.
You know, involving the muscular tissues of the body weakening
progressively. Atrophy of his muscles.
Yes. Something like, you know, MS.
It's worse than that,
multiple,
actually.
It's worse, yeah. Multiple sclerosis, you know.
Yes.
Anyway, he's praying to God, but at the same time complains.
Mm, yes.
You know, if you imagine that part in the movie, he complains to God that, God, why it happened to me, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, do you think, I mean, are the catastrophes, are the disasters, problems, incurable diseases such as Stu's case, you know, in Stu's case, are they a test, whatever happens to
of
people?
Of course they are.
You know, we all know that when, you know, things go wrong, mm-hmm. usually people go through several stages. Like the first stage, mostly to such, let's say, chronic incurable diseases,
mm-hmm.
for example, such as cancer or MS
yes,
or
yes.
stuff like this, is that they go through a stage of denial. And the second stage, psychologically speaking or medically speaking, they accept it, but they get very much angry about it. All right?
Of course.
So anger is the
so
second
natural.
Phase. And sometimes they fail to go on to the several other stages. For example, the third stage or the next stage is acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
They simply accept whatever conditions they have.
Yes.
All right? And he seems to be in the second stage, if I'm not wrong, you know. So, you know, from the medical perspective, that is the stages people go through. But from the religious or from the, you know, humanistic perspective,
point of view.
All right,
mm-hmm.
Especially from religious studies perspective, are problems such as this or catastrophes a test for people?
Yes, of course they are a test. See, it's again, as we're human beings, we've been brought into this world and nobody has ever promised us that you're going to have a peachy life and no problems, no obstacles, no worries, no cries. So it is not heaven. Here is not heaven. Here is a world to test us.
It's not what they say, bed of roses.
Exactly. We're not here for a happy journey. It's not going to be like that. And nobody has ever promised that. There are going to be problems, issues, catastrophes, and so much of a hard, daggering sort of situations that would happen to each and every one of us. The point is, when we say that, okay, it's a test from God, it is very difficult to understand that when you are in a situation of misery.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. I guess his two was very good because it took him only one conversation with God and he was just nagging for some moment and it was finished. And the next day he was back to his normal life.
Mm-hmm.
For
lots of individuals, it doesn't work like that.
It takes more than that, yes. It takes years. You keep those grudges from God, and you would never forget that what he did to you. You know, when I was young, I read a story which was very nice. A man in his dream, saw his life in front of his eyes mm-hmm. and saw that there are some footsteps on the shores of an ocean. Then he had the right to ask God. He said that, okay, see how miserable I was. I was all alone crossing these shores by myself and nobody mm-hmm. came to my rescue, even yeah. you. And then God replied to him that, okay, those footprints are my footprints. I was holding you on my hand mm-hmm. so that you do not understand the difficulties to the core.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very nice and interesting and it captivated me ever since. And I was thinking that, it's true that we are going through a difficult situation as human beings and yes. our heart might get so broken and feel so much suffocated. But the truth is that even in those situations, God is looking after us and he's there very close because if he's not there and if he's not helping us, so many other things we might do, you know, even... the people who are religious enough to deal with situations, at the difficult situations, they come to think of suicide or something like that. But he's God, the one who's helping us to cross all those situations. So generally speaking, I would say that those situations happen to everyone and it's very normal and natural.
Are you suggesting that those who are religious take it more easily?
I would suggest that those who believe in God and think of him as a friend who's always close to them, they would never, and they might think of wrong decisions, but they would never take those roads because they have someone to cry on his shoulder, to bear their soul for, and to, you know, that process of complaining is also giving you something that would make you like, it's a purgation, you know, it would make you let everything out of yourself.
I see.
And
then
that would
system.
Be, yes, it would be a healing conversation, I guess.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sister Asma. Let's take a short break by listening to another part of the movie, Father Stu, producing 2022, and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
I don't know what else to say.
Oh, that's a first. You must be really sick.
That's what they're saying, Mom. I feel fine so far.
It's a baby.
You can beat this. They ain't seen it in a man so young. Means they don't know it's possible to get it
gone. You gotta think that way. Can't think nothing else.
Yeah.
But in case you don't, you ought to move back home.
Spend what you got left doing things you enjoy. Eat your favorite food, see your friends.
You might even box again.
Ma.
Sorry, baby.
I'm just scared.
Now look at Mary.
Watching her son getting whipped and nailed. She probably look good doing it.
That's a fairy tale, Stu.
And if it ain't?
This God of yours, you've given up everything for him.
And what's he do? He punishes you.
When God wounds us, he calls us closer to him.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah helping me as guest speakers in the studio to criticize the movie Fathers 2, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. Sayyid Abdullah, when Stu talks to his mother, who turned out to be an atheist, of course, just like his dad, you know, is surprised as to what kind of God he is that punishes those who worship and serve him, right? If you imagine that part.
Yeah,
and he says, when God wounds us, he calls us closer to him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a rather mystical interpretation, right?
It is.
Are catastrophes, trial and tribulation, in fact, a means of proximity to God?
Okay, so from a Christian perspective, you can see that this notion exists.
Mm-hmm.
From an Islamic perspective, this notion extremely heavily exists.
Mm-hmm.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He clearly made it very clear in chapter Al-Mulk in verse 1 that الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ He created life and death, which is life, only and only to trial you. That's it. That's
to put you all to test.
Yeah. So the whole purpose of life is not to live happily after, is not to seek wealth, is not to seek money, not to build a house, not to have a family, not to live a luxurious life.
Mm-hmm.
These were not part of life. Like Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says, you're trying to seek something in a place that's not designated for it.
Mm-hmm.
So seeking happiness in this world, it's bogus. It's not going to happen. It's not designed for it.
Yeah.
So Allah says this entire world is meant to be for what? For trials. Trials mean pain, means suffering. It means problems. It doesn't mean happiness. I'm not going to give you 50 questions and multiple choice answers and you just pick and choose and then you go out. No, no, no. The test of life is extremely hard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having said that, that this life is based on tests, there are those who He gives them pleasurable life, comfortable life, from our perspective at least, because God...
That's another kind of test, you mean.
Exactly,
that's
another kind of test.
So Allah lets them go, right? There are those whom Allah loves the most. And He wants them to keep. He wants to keep them close to Him.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones who have the most of trials, because as a human beings, when I if imagine this, if me as a child, if I get hurt, if I get injured, the first one I run to is my mother. I run for someone that can carry me, that can absorb that pain that I have, mm-hmm. and nurture it with love.
Right.
So this is just a natural human being reaction. You get hurt, you got someone who can cure you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same thing. He says in life. Every time I see you, obviously this is with the special ones.
Mm-hmm.
He says, every time I see you driving away from me and drifting away from me, I will send something to you that will make you come back.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, okay, God, please, what's going on here? Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us be, we will differently drift. If He does not intervene,
yes,
especially with problems, whether it's a sickness, it's a family problem, it's a spouse problem, child problem, money problem, whatever problem there is, if Allah gives us everything that we need, we will never talk to Him. We will never even come to Him.
Yes,
even Allah in the Quran says, "In ra'ahu istaghna." Once he becomes rich, he says, "I have no need of God."
Yeah,
even he will acclaim whatever he has as his is none of God, like Qarun. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي Allah has nothing to do with it. When Moses said to him, come pay your charity, pay your taxes, he said, no, it's all mine. Allah has nothing to do with it. That's what happens. Before it, Qarun was a very poor man and he was constantly praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, yes, I will put you, like there's a hadith from right. Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, mm-hmm. If Allah loves a mu'min, He will put his head into water, mm-hmm. and just before he drowns, He pulls him out.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a breather and He puts him back again. Like أغطسه غطسة, like that's the term. I'm like, that's torture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's literally torture. This is what we see in the movies.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
So Allah says, for my believers, for my servants, for those who are close to me, I will do that to them just to make sure that we are constantly in contact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like the sister said, sometimes it's very hard for us to see this thing. So that's why you need to mentally be prepared for it. If you're not mentally prepared for it, then you have the rejection. What kind of God that would punish those whom He loved.
Yeah, true indeed.
So it makes a difference of how you see
it. And it was very nice, you know. It happened to him right after he decided to be a priest. Right after decided to get closer to God.
Yeah, yeah.
True indeed. Education was, because I come from the background of education, you know.
Mm.
I can compare it to a kind of proverb, but it's better not, because it might actually... drive a wrong message actually there. But the thing is, if there is no test in a class, if there's a teacher, there's education, there's a class full of people, students, but there's no test, there's no examination, the students will play all the time.
No one
will
ever study.
Exactly. They would never study and they would never excel in whatever course that they are taking part in, you know?
Exactly.
So that's the kind of look I have at test, like test of life, basically. Yeah. This is not a test of classrooms or school, but this is a test of life.
It's exactly the same.
But for everyone, it's different, as you were saying.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. But I always say this to people when I see people complaining about life. I'm like, imagine you're going to school and you have a test. You go to the exam room, and in the exam room, you said, bring me a TV, bring me a bed, bring me a sofa, bring me food, yes, bring me coffee. They will say to you, sorry, but this is in the classroom. Yeah, yeah. You need to do your exam and go out.
Yeah.
Then you have your fun. Here, we can't do that. Yes. This is exactly what we're doing in this dunya. Allah says, this is an exam.
Yeah.
You're saying, God, give me comfort, give me cars, give me house, give me wife, give me husband, give me kids, give me... Allah says, dude, just... pass a test, and damn it, I have eternity waiting for you.
Yeah.
But we just can't.
Okay, thank you very much. That's a nice, actually, point to end with. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma. And thank you for listening to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with the critique of the movie Fathers 2, produced in 2022. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Salam, and here are words of guidance from the Prophet of Islam that are food for thought for Islamic unity. On the resurrection day, no foot of a servant of Allah will move before being asked about four things: the years and how they were spent, the body and how it was used, the wealth and how it was earned and spent, and about love towards us, the Ahlul Bayt.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With the light.
Usually rats are associated with garbage and disease, but these rats are not the typical rodents. They are being trained in Tanzania for search and rescue operations. These are a breed called the African giant pouch rat, which is naturally a very curious creature. It can weigh up to around 1,500 grams and are known to have longer lifespans than other rats. Lead researcher at the Belgium-based non-profit company Apopo, Donna Keane, says this species can live up to 10 years. This means that even after the 9 months of training, the rat will still have a long working career ahead. The size and agility of rats make them invaluable for search and rescue efforts.
So this is where the idea for the rats came in, because the rats are just as trainable as dogs. They've got a great sense of smell, and their small size and natural agility should hopefully make them really good in this scenario, where they could squeeze in small spaces and get closer to any victims.
The rescue rats began training in August last year at the Apopo's Training and Research Center. The rodents are fitted with tiny backpacks that enable real-time wireless audio-visual communication. When they find a potential victim, they pull a small handle hanging around their neck to let the rescue handlers know. The rats were trained to locate humans in mock disaster zones, such as aftermath of earthquakes. Apopo has already trained rats to detect landmines and sniff out tuberculosis. So much joy can be found in a bottle of luxury perfume, but parting with hundreds of dollars for such scents, I can take the shine off that experience. Now in Syria, a perfumer is helping people smell expensive without digging too deep into their pockets. One whiff of a fragrance is all a Syrian perfumer needs to recreate the scents of luxury brands for a fraction of a cost. That's very welcome in a country ravaged by years of foreign-backed militancy. Dozens of customers flock daily to his tiny store nestled in the historic bazaar of Damascus. They flash photos on their phones of high-end perfumes they want to replicate. He says all he has is his nose.
Here lies the secret of the profession and the brain power. I started training my nose to smell perfumes since I was 15 years old. I do not own high-end equipment. All I have is my nose, my brain power and expertise. That's all.
In the war-torn country, many people struggle to afford life's bare necessities, let alone perfume. With the local currency losing much of its value, Syrian employees reportedly make roughly $25 a month, on average a quarter of the price of a bottle of imported perfume. This perfumer sells his fragrances for about $6, drawing in a flow of clients from all walks of life.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Some people believe the internet will soon make paper books a thing of the past. In Iraq, book lovers are fighting back. They have launched a book festival offering thousands of free books to encourage the Arab nation to read more. The festival is called Iraq Reads. It's attracted big crowds. Iraqis stood shoulder to shoulder behind long tables covered in books and flipped through hundreds of titles to find the one catching their interest. Some others gather on next to the stands to read under a tree, chat about their newest books, or listen to extracts of literature read aloud through a loudspeaker. One of the organizers says they aim to revive the culture of reading books, reading paper books.
It's a crisis all over the world, not only in Iraq. There is a crisis in terms of reading paper books. One of the goals for our festival is to revive the reading of paper books so that the electronic book does not become an alternative of the paper book.
As part of the festival, 70,000 books have been distributed for free across the country so far. The books covering a wide range of topics were donated by partner libraries. The festival is held in 7 provinces in the Arab country. You have probably seen penny farthings in old books and cartoons, the antique bicycle with one very large and one small wheel. Now, this peculiar bike actually brings fans together in Prague each year to show off their skills. The cyclists were all dressed in historical costumes as they rode in formation at Letno Park in Prague. The traditional one-mile race competition was also held to see who could go the fastest while keeping their balance. The riders, mostly elderly men, said they came there for just the fun of it. Penny farthings were invented around 1870 and were popular until models with 2 evenly sized wheels and chains were developed. Most bicycles today are based on this design. Egypt is marking 100 years since the discovery of the tomb of Tutankhamun, a pharaoh who ruled more than 1,300 years B.C.
I was fascinated with the story myself, and every morning in which I was here to pick up our inspector when I was working on a dig in the Valley of the Kings, I would wander around the house trying to imagine what it was like if I had been here in 1922 and could have been a part of that. And now here we are, now that it's restored. I do hope that this will turn into a center of cultural interest for anyone and everyone who wants to visit Egypt and wants to hear more of the story about Howard Carter and the king.
In 1922, British Egyptologist Howard Carter and his team discovered Tutankhamun's nearly intact tomb. That was the start of what became a 10-year project to excavate and conserve more than 5,000 unique artifacts. Tutankhamun's reign lasted barely 9 years in the vast span of ancient Egyptian history. Although his successors tried to erase the king's record from history, the valuable discovery of his tomb has immortalized the boy king.
China is taking the final step in the construction of its Tiangong space station, the second permanently inhabited station in low Earth orbit after NASA's International Space Station. The second and last lap component of the station was launched on Monday. The uncrewed module is called Mengtian, which means dreaming of the heavens. The rocket carrying it blasted off from China's Space Launch Center on the coast of the southern island province of Hainan. The 23-ton Mengtian is an advanced lab and does not have space for sleeping and sanitation. Instead, it has more space to carry payloads for scientific studies. Fan Ping is the chief designer of the project. She says this is a special step towards space research.
I think the Mengtian lab module is quite special, as it is for experiment only, which can be seen as a dedicated studio. There are 13 scientific experiment racks in the module and 37 exposed loading stations outside the module, enabling astronauts to do more extravehicular loading experiments in the future.
The Mengtian module is the last building block of the T-shaped Tiangong station. It has to fly 400 kilometers to join the two-module combination already dispatched into space. Together, the three modules will construct the station, which is designed for a lifespan of at least 10 years.
It's always a tricky task to remember people's names at a party, but not in this particular gathering in Tokyo, where all the guests had the exact same name, Hirokazu Tanaka. 178 Hirokazu Tanakas came together on Saturday to set a new namesake gathering world record. Their ages spanned from 3 years old to 80. The Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people with the same first and last name previously belonged to Martha Stewart. 164 people with that name came together in New York in 2005. In the Tanaka's gathering, every man was assigned an alias inspired by their hobbies, occupation, or favorite foods to tell them apart from others. One nicknamed by his birthplace says, "It's strange to meet so many people with the same name." Obviously.
It's a strange feeling to know that there are nearly 200 people with the same name. To be honest, I'd presume there are more popular names out there like Suzuki and Sato. This achievement is really because of the efforts of our organizer.
The man who organized this gathering is a 53-year-old Hirokazu Tanaka who has worked for years to make this happen. He says his quest began in 1994 when he stumbled upon news about a baseball prodigy with the same name. After that, he began tirelessly scouring the nation for his namesakes. He then founded the Hirokazu Tanaka campaign that brought the men together and created a strange friendship among them. Thousands of baby turtles have been released into Peru's Amazon basin in an attempt to preserve the rainforest ecosystem. More than 6,000 hatchlings of three endangered species of turtles have been released into lakes and lagoons in Peru to help them repopulate. To make this happen, wildlife officials collected the eggs from their natural habitat and transferred them to artificial beaches until they hatched. The river turtles are considered vulnerable because for many years they have been killed for human consumption or kept as pets. Scientists are currently trying to conserve the Amazon to avoid catastrophic climate change, and Peru has the second largest share of the rainforest after Brazil.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Ladies and gentlemen, Salamu Alaikum. You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. Please join us on how to organize our life in Islam. Today, Friday, is the 13th of Jamadil Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri Calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 6th of January 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment by listening of chapter Al-An'am, verse 73, and of course, an important point of this verse.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق ويوم يقول كن فيكون قوله الحق وله الملك يوم ينفخ في الصور عالم الغيب والشهادة وهو الحكيم الخبير.
And it is He who created the heavens and earth in truth. And the day He says, be, and it is, His word is the truth. And His is the dominion on the day the horn is blown. He is knower of the unseen and the witnessed. And He is the wise, the acquainted.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse implies that the creation entirely is with Allah, and He is all-wise, all-aware, and He is cognizant of all things. On the day of resurrection, the splendor and appearance of Allah's power will be manifested to everybody, since ordinary means are not effective there. For this very reason, this power will be manifested more. Thus, since the creator and administrator of the world of existence is both wise and aware, then do obey him.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Allah darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي.
Again, we are with you, and our topic is how to organize your life in Islam. Keeping life organized often feels like a juggling act. Just as swiftly as you move to catch one ball, say finances, family commitments, or fun with friends, the next one is hurtling towards you. Unfortunately, some balls are bound to hit the ground. Weeks failing to prioritize sleep, fast food instead of meal prep, and etc. Instead of throwing life's tasks in the air in hopes you'll somehow manage to catch them all, follow a framework to keep every area of your life in order. The result is getting more done while feeling less stressed, less juggling, more living.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, in this very show, we are going to talk about the ways to organize our daily routine. The first is meditation and mindfulness. Starting our day with a purpose helps us shape how the rest of our day turns out. The second, principle that I want to mention here about making and organizing the routines is to develop a fitness routine. The next actual principle that we want to share and refer to is an afternoon pick-me-up. Find a routine in the afternoon that works for you so you can reorganize and finish your day on a high note. The next principle that we want to recommend to you, dear listeners, is to declutter and simplify. Reduce distractions and allow for greater focus. The next principle that we want to refer to is to plan ahead. Set aside time for planning review previous tasks and the progress made, make lists, note any important dates and appointments, and etc. But we suggest extending your planning to other avenues in your life, such as the mentioned meal planning, exercise scheduling in time for your social activities, but also laying your clothes for the next day. All of these small adjustments will help you be more organized and build a routine. Thank you very much, dear brothers and sisters, for listening. And thanks for staying tuned till our next, I live in Allah's protection till our next show. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
Again, we have a tip, an important one, on getting organized. Why? Because it's good for our iman, our faith. It's very simple. Wake up early. Most of the cultures in the world agree on the following. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. The problem is that only a few successful people apply this in their lives. When I read about the life of successful business people and public figures, the most common thing is that they all wake up at around 4 or 5 a.m., if not earlier. This time is great for creative work, planning, thinking. Do not try to communicate. Abstain from reading and answering the emails. Spend some time to plan your upcoming day and upcoming life. Islamic prayers 5 times a day, besides its spiritual value, is also a good exercise for the body. One of these prayers is scheduled by Almighty to the early morning before the sunrise. If you are not a Muslim, for you, this will mean a soft exercise, short running mixed with some kind of meditation.
رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ يَهْدِي الْعَصَى رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ يَهْدِي الْعَصَى ربنا الهادي الودود فضله ملء الوجود عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
Dear brothers and sisters, today is the demise anniversary of Lady Fatima Umm al-Banin. So today's special offers its condolences on this sad occasion. Throughout Islamic history, only a handful of women have emerged as models of perfect womanhood in all legitimate social and righteous domains. In addition to the four ladies, four leading women of the world, Lady Maryam, Lady Asiya, Lady Khadija, and Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon them all, there are several women without the religion of Islam would have greatly stumbled. Fatima, more commonly referred to as Lady Umm al-Banin, peace be upon her, ranks among the most esteemed and pious of Muslim women to this date and will remain so due to her courage, piety, and steadfastness towards the Prophet and his household, peace be upon them all. Her life, despite the fact that she was a fallible being like the rest of us, presents countless lessons that illustrates the type of character and sincerity we can obtain and reach.
Third quality that Imam Rizal alayhi salam says we have to acquire is from the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is sabr and patience, especially when people are going through distressful situations, financially, physically, or otherwise. And this becomes even more important, this issue of sabr, when we talk about marriage relationships. Especially during the early stages of the marriage. And you know, the problem is that sometimes we look at things from a very idealistic point of view. Oh, everything will be good and well, rosy. No, dunya is not like that. Life is not like that. Life has ups and downs. Even those whom you might see they are very successful at the moment, go and ask them. If they are willing to talk about their own life, they will tell you that the difficulties that they've gone through. And so now, you know, life doesn't always go on the same pattern. And this is where, especially when we talk about marriage relationship, you know, sabr becomes very important. If you look at the situation, many times in the marriage gatherings, I've given this example, that sabr is actually a quality which is becoming less and less among the modern men and women. They don't really have patience. There's a Canadian philosopher who talks about this issue, and she talks about this sense of gratification right away. This is all commercialism, advertisement. Children see, you know, ads of things, and they want it right away. They can't wait. And this gradually even builds among the adults. And so there's no element of sabr, that wait. Maybe there is a problem now, but let's work on it, and gradually we will be able to overcome it. No, they want solution right away. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work for the office. And this is where we have to realize that sometimes, yes, your ship, if you use that as a symbol of your marriage, might hit the ground because of low tides. But those who are patient and have sabr, they will wait out until the high tides comes in, and then they will steer their ship back to course.
As you noticed, we were speaking about how to organize our life in Islam. Inshallah, we continue on the next episode of today's special tomorrow. So we meet you soon, inshallah. Fi amanillah.
Nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer, I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.